This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Welcome to the AIPIS show for accredited income property investment specialists and those who aspire to be. If you're a real estate, mortgage, or financial professional, this is the place for you. We'll explore innovative investment analysis, sales, marketing, and income-generating strategies for the most historically proven wealth creator, income property. Learn from the experts as they show you how to build a better business and a better life.
Welcome to the AIPIS show for accredited income property investment specialists and those who desire to be. This is your host, Jason Hartman, where we talk about increasing your income, your productivity, and just generally having a better life while serving your clients better with America's most historically proven asset class, income property. We have a great interview for you today, and we will be back with that in less than 60 seconds. It's my pleasure to welcome Beverly Flaxington to the show. She is the human behavior coach. She's co-founder and principal at The Collaborative, a practice management and business development consultant, best-selling author of several books, including Understanding Other People, The Five Secrets to Human Behavior, and Make Your Shift, The Five Most Successful Moves You Can Make to Get From Where You Are to Where You Want to Go. She's an adjunct professor of leadership and social responsibility at Suffolk University, and it is a pleasure to have her join us today. Bev, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jason. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's good to have you. You do some great work, and gosh, with eight different books, I'm not exactly sure what we should focus on today, but I just thought I'd ask you for kind of a backdrop on, you know, your general model of being more effective at understanding people, you know. And of course, this relates to salespeople. It relates to people that want to be effective in any area of their lives, because, you know, life is about relationships, of course.
You know, I have traveled a very interesting journey, Jason, to get to this point, because my entire professional career has actually been in the financial services space. I had several large corporate jobs working in organizations. Many of my clients are there. But along the way, I always had this interest about what it is that makes people tick. So I became actually certified as a hypnotherapist many, many, many years ago. And I always struggled to bridge that gap. I would never talk about my hypnosis, my interest in human behavior when I was sitting with a CEO of a large financial services firm, and nor would I talk about my knowledge in the corporate arena with, you know, at the annual hypnosis convention. And so it's really only been in about the last 7 to 8 years where I've been able to see, my goodness, these are all pieces of the same puzzle, and that there's a way to draw upon all of these experiences to be able to develop tools to help people succeed.
Yeah, there sure are. And, you know, as soon as you talk about hypnosis, the corporate people would probably say, oh, that's hokey. And then when you talk to the hypnosis people, you talk about the corporate world, they say, oh, those greedy people, you know, or something. It's funny how that you sort of bridged an interesting gap there, an interesting divide, I'd say. Okay, well, what are some of the key things? You know, it's interesting that you talk about the five things, five secrets to human behavior, five most powerful. Is five your favorite number?
You know, five is not my favorite number, but there is a lot of research that shows that we really can only understand up to seven pieces of information at one time. And so what I've managed to do with all of my different approaches is to try to organize it in a way that's a logical flow for people, or that I call it chunking, Jason, that, you know, it's a lot of information and, you know, understanding people. My goodness, there's so many different aspects of that. So what I've tried to do is take all of my learnings and then chunk it into individual components. And what I found is that, you know, there's five. And so you can understand what those are. My shift model has five steps that someone can take. You know, I think what happens to people is we want to be able to make change. We want to be able to be different in relationship. We want to be able to be successful. But we just get overwhelmed by the amount of information that's out there and what we've learned and what we think we should do. So my goal is, how do I chunk it down and deliver it to people in a way that they say, okay, I can do that. And so five has worked out to be the place where I think people say, yeah, I can do that.
Okay, good. Well, we can do it. So take us through the five. And I assume each of these five in the different books are different. So whichever one you want to take us through.
Well, let's talk about the shift model in particular, because that's something that was an interesting evolution, Jason. I've worked, as I said, I've had so many people over the years, everybody from the, you know, hypnosis client that's come to me because they want to lose weight to the CEO of the largest financial services firms in the world who say, we want to be able to grow our business. And what I had found over and over again is that I would always go through a certain set of steps with people. And it was actually one of my clients at one of the largest mutual fund companies who said, would you create a model for us so that we can mimic what you do with us all the time? And so that's how Shift was born. But let's talk about the five steps, because I think it is something that your listeners can take away and they could start to work with right away. So it's an acronym, S-H-I-F-T. So the first one is the S, specify the desired outcome. Now that one sounds so simple, Jason, right? Like, we know where we want to go. We know what we're trying to accomplish. I want to make more money. I want to get the new job. But the reality is very few people take the time to actually write down very clearly what success looks like, quantitatively and qualitatively. What would really make me happy be a success definition for me?
Okay, so help us with that. I mean, you know, I agree with you. And Stephen Covey, in his books, he talked about how people climb the ladder of success and then they reach the top and realize it's leaning against the wrong wall. You know, so that's important to define that success, but give us some pointers on it. I mean, what do we do?
Yeah, so let's take something like looking for a new job. So first of all, we have to recognize that for many people, we're more interested in what we call moving away from rather than moving toward. So we're unhappy with where we're sitting. And so what we want to do is we just want to get rid of whatever this is, but we're not sure where we're headed next. The first thing is to make sure we're being careful about what is it that I want, not what is it that I don't want. So interesting, if you ask people, they can almost always tell you clearly what they don't want. When we talk about what we do want, this is where I call it creating the mosaic. This is where you want to think about all of the different components of where you're going. So if it's a job, I would want to look at everything from the kind of industry, the kind of role, the commute, the salary, the kind of working environment, the people I'd like to be working with, the type of role I'd like to be in vis-a-vis other roles in the company. So I really want to take the time, Jason, to really think about all of the components. Now, I may not get all of them, and that's where later in the model, you know, having criteria makes sense. But it does behoove me to think about all of these pieces so I know what I'm aiming for.
No question about it. And I think one of the reasons, Bev, that we always seem to be more able to define what we don't want, and we protect what we have, you know, that throughout history, we lived in an environment of scarcity. And this is, you know, in recent decades, the first time where we've really lived in an environment of abundance. So moving toward, it's I don't think we're programmed that way. That's not how we evolved. We evolved by conserving, by staying away from danger, by avoiding problems, by, you know, avoiding the saber-toothed tiger. You know, that's just part of us, isn't it? It's hard to overcome that natural tendency.
It is. And that's why I think, though, for so many people, and you know, Covey's illustration is such a nice one, but, you know, people work very hard to get somewhere and then realize it's not where they want to be. So in my view, take a little bit of time, and then we have to undo it, right? And then we've got to fix it and figure out what's next. So the first step really does require me to be a little bit thoughtful. Jason, I find this with even people that we'll work with. They may call us in and say, oh, you know, we need you to do some work with our employees. Okay, well, what does success look like to you? And they'll look at us blankly. They haven't really thought about, well, what will happen as a result of this work being done? What will be different here? How will they know that this has been successful? So I think that art of stepping back and just asking yourself, what do I really want? What does success look like to me? Just that process can be really helpful of vetting that out.
Yeah, sure can. Okay, next step.
We move on to H. This is one of my favorites. I call this highlight the obstacles and categorize them. You know, if you think about most of our goal approaches, we are told, you know, be positive, stay motivated, just believe you can do it, work towards it, et cetera, et cetera. The reality of life is that there are obstacles in the way. So I think it's healthier for us to take a few minutes to say, what's standing in my way? And catalog those things. Why haven't I got to that desired outcome before? What's been the problem? But then we have to categorize them, Jason, because we don't want to get bogged down and stuck on all the reasons why we're not where we want to be. So we want to categorize them. What can we control? What can we influence? And what's out of our control? And I think that's a very important step because as I make my plans, I want to be focusing on the things I can control and the things I can influence and turn my attention away for those things that I can't control.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So that one seems like it won't be too terribly hard to implement, you know, the prayer of St. Francis, you know,
Yes. Yeah,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I can, how does it go? Anyway, we all know what it is, you know, the wisdom to know the difference, that's what's important. Okay, what's the next step?
Identify the human factor. So you think about every change effort, Jason, what's in the middle of it? It's usually me. But we don't take the time to really look at, you know, what are my strengths? Where are the areas that hold me back? This is another opportunity to catalog. What am I made up of? What do I excel at? What do I like? What do I want to do? So it gives me a little bit of time to learn a little bit more about myself. But then the other piece of the human factor is stakeholders. I like to tell a story that illustrates this about a hypnosis client that I had, and she was trying to lose some weight. And so we were going through all of the steps, and there's things we do at the subconscious level and then at the conscious level. And she was doing well for a while, and all of a sudden, she turned this corner, and she just started to backtrack. And so when I explored it with her, I found out that her husband had started to bring her home candy and take her out to dinner and all of these things that were making losing weight very difficult. Well, to make a long story short, what we uncovered is that she hadn't shared with him that she was embarking on this effort. And so he started to get nervous. Why is my wife losing the weight, looking so good? You know, I need to really show her how much she means to me. And it's such a perfect example of the state.
Is the thing he got worried about that, oh, she's on the market again?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Is she trying to leave me? And of course, it wasn't that at all, but that's a great example of the stakeholders. There's people who have a stake. They care about what we're doing. We really need to understand who they are and then figure out how do we take them into account in our change efforts.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Good. So F.
The F, find the alternative. So here's what happens all the time. And Jason, you mentioned I'm a college professor. So I teach a course on leadership and social responsibility. We have not-for-profit, socially responsible groups come in and they speak to the students and they give them a challenge. And the knee-jerk reaction of every student that I have, and I think all of us as human beings, is hear the challenge and fix the problem. But this is why I think you can't get to finding your alternatives until you've specified your desired outcome, know what your obstacles are and catalog them, and understand your human factor. And so only then can I start to think about what options do I have? And this could be personal brainstorming. This could be bouncing ideas off people. But it's really important to get some criteria, organize those criteria by priorities, and then start to look at what are the different options. There's more than one way to get to that desired outcome that I stated.
Yeah, there certainly are. Okay, all right. So we've got the final step here, and that is the T to cap it off.
Take the disciplined action. So I would ask your listeners and you to think about the number of times throughout your life you've had a great conversation with someone, you're motivated, or you've been in a meeting and lots of wonderful things are talked about, and then absolutely nothing happens because we tend not to make the step-by-step specific plans that we need to make to take that disciplined action. And so this means that I sit down, I like to tell the story when I wrote my first book, Understanding Other People. I run a very busy consulting business. I'm an adjunct professor. I have three children. I do a lot of volunteer work. I travel for my job, several pets at my home. And so the idea of writing a book, how could I even think about doing that? So the step-by-step take disciplined action is writing down all the components of what it takes to write a book. And then every day being able to make some progress towards it. Find an editor, get somebody who's a graphic designer, write the outline, write a few pages. So this is where we can break down what we need to do, Jason, into those step-by-step pieces, be really clear who, what, when, so that we can start to make that progress. Because otherwise, a lot of times we'll put it to the side because it's just too daunting for us.
Yeah, so just that simple daily grind type stuff that we've all got to do to make the rubber meet the road, right?
Exactly. But we don't often chunk it down into, small enough pieces. Like I like to do an exercise with people with the to-do lists that we all love to make. You know, if you look at any one to-do, oftentimes inside of it is 12 or 13 or 15 to-dos.
Isn't that for sure? Yeah.
Break it down. Make it manageable so you can make some progress every single day.
You know what I find, and I'm surprised, Bev, that it took me this long to learn this, I find that it's helpful to, instead of making a to-do list, to just put things on your calendar. Put those to-dos on your calendar. Instead of having this list, just schedule things. Thoughts on that?
Absolutely. So there's a little trick that I tell all of the executives that I coach who will say, and rightly so, they're overwhelmed, there's so much to do. So first thing really is also to take that list and reorganize it by priorities. And every day pick out what would be the top three things today that if I made progress on them, they would be the biggest gains for me. So because what we'll tend to do is we'll either take the easiest thing or we'll take it in the order we've written them down. So we want to look at those top three priorities. And then I want to figure out what steps I need to take and absolutely move those steps into my calendar so that they're there and I've reserved the time for them. And so even if I don't do it at 10 o'clock on Thursday when I planned it, I will tend to do it because it was there on my calendar. And I'll move it to another spot and get it done. So yes, you're definitely on to something. But I think that prioritization, people will tell me sometimes that simple exercise was life-changing for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no question about it. Any big secrets that you want to share as far as secrets to human behavior as we wrap up, Bev?
You know, just that I think it's something, Jason, that we think it comes naturally, right? I mean, you think about anybody out there who's got children, they learn to walk naturally and talk naturally. And so we do have this misperception that communication and understanding what makes somebody else tick and how we can interact with them just comes naturally. And that's absolutely not the case. And we're not taught a lot of the ways to read people, to communicate well with people, and quite frankly, to figure out for ourselves what's going to make us most successful. So it is a journey for all of us. And I would just encourage your listeners to get interested. I call it becoming a detective and just watching yourself learning and watching others and learning from them, because we're not given a lot of this on a platter. It's something that we have to work really hard to figure out.
Yeah, we sure do. We sure do. Give out your website and tell people where they can find out more.
Sure. It's the-collaborative.com. It's the name of the firm with a hyphen, www.the-collaborative.com. Lots of great free information there. Lots of information about all the books. It's a great resource place.
Just a final question for you, Bev, which is sort of to sum it all up. I mean, if you had to do this in an elevator pitch, you know, just you got 30 seconds, what would you say that, you know, is the basic fundamental idea which people can use to get from where they are to where they want to be in life, personally, professionally, whatever category they want?
Know clearly where it is that you're going and have a clear plan for getting there. And those components we talked about are critical pieces that happen in the middle. But the first step is really to know clearly what is it that's going to be successful for you, and then to work diligently towards that.
You know, that's a good way to put it. And it just reminds me of that famous quote, "The unexamined life is not worth living."
Yes.
Doesn't it? Yeah, yeah. You just got to know and define it and get specific on things, and then all of the little how-tos will come, won't they?
Absolutely. And it's why so many of those wonderful quotes and things that you brought out for illustrations, you know, make sense. And I think our mind grabs onto them because we recognize it, and they exist for a reason. But I do think a lot of people need a little bit of that roadmap, you know, just that path forward. What are those steps I need to take so that they can start to see that they're making their own progress?
Mm-hmm. And then when they feel that progress, they feel good about it and they want to continue the journey.
Yes, so, yes.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
It's like a healthy drug. You get it and you really want to get more of it.
Right. You get some good feedback along the way. Well, good stuff. Beverly Flaxington, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, I appreciated being here, Jason, and I do hope that we've inspired some folks out there.
You know, sometimes I think of Jason Hartman as a walking encyclopedia on the subject of creating wealth.
Well, you're probably not far off from the truth, Penny, because Jason actually has a 3-book set on creating wealth that comes with 60 digital download audios.
Yes, Jason has that unique ability to make you understand investing the way it should be. It's a world where anything less than 26% annual return is disappointing.
I love how he actually shows us how we can be excited about these scary times and exploit the incredible opportunities this present economy has afforded us.
We can pick local markets untouched by the economic downturn, exploit packaged commodities investing, and achieve exceptional returns safely and securely.
I also like how he teaches you to protect the equity in your home before it disappears, and how to outsource your debt obligations to the government.
And the entire set of advanced strategies for wealth creation is being offered at a savings of $94.
That's right. And to get your Creating Wealth Encyclopedia series, complete with over 60 hours of audio and 3 books, just go to jasonhartman.com/store.
If you want to be able to sit back and collect checks every month, just like a banker, Jason's Creating Wealth Encyclopedia series is for you.
This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company, all rights reserved. For distribution or publication rights and media interviews, please visit www.hartmanmedia.com or email media@hartmanmedia.com. Nothing on this show should be considered specific personal or professional advice. Please consult an appropriate tax, legal, real estate, or business professional for individualized advice. Opinions of guests are their own, and the host is acting on behalf of Platinum Properties Investor Network, Inc., exclusively.